Well, praise God. Amen. I just trust that you love Jesus this morning. Say amen. Praise God. This is wonderful, folks. I'm telling you, the fellowship in the saints, the words of encouragement that have been spoken in this house and ministry to this body. We all are to bring an increase into the body. Amen. And not just the preacher, not just a leadership, but every one of us bring a measure of Christ into this house. And every one of you is valuable to him and to this body. If you belong here, I'll tell you what, then you brought an increase of Jesus here, a measure of faith with you. And just the ministry that's gone on here this morning is bring edification, testimonies, prayer, witness. This is great, folks. We're the people of God. Thank God. Why would we want to do anything else but this? What a wonderful privilege it is just to be a part of the family of God. If you have your Bible, I want to look at a couple of things. I was up this morning and you get your Bible out. I want to go some places this morning and it's up early this morning just asking God. You know, I've been preaching all week long, but I know that there's a word from God for this house this morning. I know. I don't want to just say words. Jesus said, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they're life. He's talking to people. He's telling them, you got to eat my flesh. You got to drink my blood. You want to partake in this. People are looking around. You could just imagine what they might have been thinking. What's he talking about? Said many of his disciples left him that day. Jesus said to them, they said, we don't understand. He said, my words are spirit and they're life. What I'm telling you is you're not going to understand anything about God in your head. So I want to know, Jesus speaks to the spirit. My words are spirit and they're life. You're not going to ration it out with that mind. Doesn't matter how intelligent it is. My words are spirit and they're life. And I believe that Jesus has come to speak into your spirit this morning. And I'm not interested in just saying words. I want God, the Holy Ghost, to take up the words that I speak today and put it into your spirit. And when they do, it will bring life. My God, I said it will bring life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Amen. Father, we ask you today, God, in this house, my God, tune every heart, Lord. God, every spirit man, the days are few. God, the hour, Lord, is late. Our days are few. We must be about the Father's business. God, we must hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to the body of Christ. God, make every heart ready, every man prepared, for you soon shall appear. Oh, God, we're grateful. We're looking forward to you coming. Give us the ability to hear this day, and we'll give you honor and glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I'm going to look at a couple of scriptures here. First, let's look at Luke chapter number 18. I want to read one verse. I'm going to go to the book of Revelation after that. Luke chapter 18, verse number 1 through 8. I'm going to read that. I want to look at one verse there, verse number 8. I just feel to read this for part of the text this morning. Verse number 8 says, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith in the earth? When the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Turn to the book of Revelation, and let's look in the chapter number 1, or chapter number 2, verse number 7. Then I'm going to read verse 11, verse 17, verse 26, chapter 3, I'm going to read verse 5, verse 12, and verse 21. And set the premise of this thought this morning. Revelation 1:7 says, "He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." Verse number 11 says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death." Verse 17 says, "He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone. And in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth saving he that receive it." Verse 26, "And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over nations." Chapter 3, verse number 5 says, "He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels." Verse 12 says, "Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down from heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." And lastly, verse 21, "To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame. I am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." I'm going to talk for a few moments this morning to him that overcometh. To him that overcometh. I told you this morning, when I woke up this morning, I began to pray about the message of God for today, because I didn't want to just come here this morning speaking words. That it's too late in the game. It's too late in the hour to be playing games, going through motions. Folks, we live at critical moments in time and in history. God has chosen us to be a part of this time in his clock, in the clock that God has set. And I think many times of how wonderful it would have been to be a part of that early church, but that God called us and he called us for this time. I believe the final generation, the last to be a part of that end time bride that Jesus himself is calling out. But I want to speak to your spirit today. God has a word for you this morning. Amen. I said he's got a word for you. He's not talking to the church down the road. He's not talking in the church in last week's revival. He's talking to us this morning. And somebody needs to know today that this is the word from God. Folks, these promises of God are to the overcomer. I said this promise, that these promises that I read to you here in our text, the promises of God are to the overcomer. We are rapidly approaching the end of an age, and it doesn't even take great discernment to know that something is about to happen in our world. Something's about to happen. You don't even have to be spiritual to know it. Something is happening in our world, and something is about to happen. The time that we live is marked with many things, and I won't list them all, but I will say that our time is marked with great uncertainty. Our time is marked with fear. It's marked with hatred. It's marked with division on a number of levels. Lawlessness abounds in our streets and in the nations, even abroad. We are living at a time like never before in the history of the world. And the conditions of our world are marked by the word of God as to be the conditions of the end time. I'm going to read to you in Matthew chapter number 24 here, just for a moment, a few verses here. Matthew chapter 24 and verse beginning in verse number 4, it says, take heed, excuse me. Take heed that, verse number 4, many shall come in my name saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Verse 6 says, and you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you. And you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many will wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Those are descriptions, elements that are prevalent in this modern time that we live. You can see it all around. You could talk about that the entirety of this service. Donnie just said it a moment ago. Jesus is the hated thing of this society. He said, you'll be hated of all nations. It will be that. The name of Christ will be hated. There's divisions. There is offenses like we've never seen on a multitude of levels. Much of it crept in unawares into the house of God. But I want to tell you something. This promise of God to us in this 13th verse is, he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. He that's able to endure the difficulty of the condition of the end time. He that's able to overcome the offenses and the devices and the difficulties that are in the end days will be that one who is saved. Listen to me this morning, church. I want to tell you this. It's not how you start. It's not how you started this race with God. It's how you finish. I said it's not how you start. It's how you finish. There's not a one of you or I, not a one of us in this building this morning that are in heaven yet. I said not a one of us are in heaven yet. We may have started off well. We may be continued on in this journey, but we're not home yet, children. That's what I'm saying. It's he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. I'm looking to the left and to the right. I'm panning across this nation and this church world. I'm doing my best to watch with a careful eye. And I can tell you those that began this journey with me, there's a name, I could name them by name, a number of them. They're not in the way of faith any longer. They're not in this place of God anymore. There's a number of them. You could name them. They're falling by the wayside. Side, dropping like flies, you could may say. I never seen a time where more people are growing cold towards spiritual matters, where they're becoming more uninterested in the life of God. They're preoccupied by worldly things. They're preoccupied by the evil that's present in our world. There's something pulling them away. Church, we're not home yet. It's not how you start the race. It's how you finish that matters. I said it's how you finish. And no matter how the journey's been for you to this point, I want to tell you to finish strong. I said finish strong. Your labor for God is not in vain. He's nigh at the door. Your lover is at hand, church. I want to tell you, whatever may be pulling on you, whatever may be causing your heart to wax cold, it may be the lukewarmness of your brothers and sisters. It may be the appeal of worldly preferment. Whatever is pulling you away from God, whatever is cooling your affection, God wants you to come to him and he wants you to know, finish strong. I said, finish strong. We're closer than we've ever been before. It's not about how you start. Many of people started well, but they never really pressed on to a real union with God. God. And because they never pressed on into union with God in intimacy and fellowship with Him, even though they started well in the journey, they didn't press on with God. They fell by the wayside at some point. We have to not just see the kingdom, but enter the kingdom. Jesus said, "Whatever, when you're born again, Nicodemus, unless a man's born again, he cannot see the kingdom." But then he said, unless you are born again, born of water, born of the Spirit and of the blood, he said, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Many have seen the kingdom, but they failed to enter the kingdom. It's not just about seeing it. It's about entering it, friend. You don't need to fall out now. We're too close for you to lose sight. It's too close for you to not enter the kingdom of this God. Put away whatever might hold you back. Jesus goes on to deal in the further verses of the chapter, even into the next chapter. And then in verse, he begins to deal with the preparation. He talks of the second coming. He deals with the fig tree. He talks of the illustration of the days of Noah. He said about Noah, he said, not the day and the hour no man knows, not the angels, but my Father only. But as was in the days of Noah, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For in the days there were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, they were marrying, and they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then he says there'll be two in the field, one taken, one left. Two women grinding at the mill, one taken, one left. Watch ye, he said, therefore, for you know not the hour which your Lord does come. But know this, if the good men of the house had known in that hour the thief would come, he would have watched, and he would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Many think that there's going to be a great warning, that they're going to have an opportunity to slide in at the last moment, that a great revival might sweep through, and I'll have the opportunity to jump in. But Jesus said, in an hour when you think not, the Son of Man comes. Noah preached for 120 years, and the people would never hear him. They wouldn't listen to this man of God. He said, it's going to rain. I'm sure there'd be a little tyke somewhere that come along the scene, saw that man out there building the ark. I'm sure I could just see a young man pulling on his daddy, maybe his grandpa or just whatever, somebody in his family. Daddy, who's this Noah out here? Said he's got a message that God is going to rain upon the earth. He's building an ark. Oh, he's crazy, son. That man's been there. I asked my daddy the same question, son. Years ago, I asked him. I said, what's that man doing? And he said, oh, it's going to rain. He said, but son, been 100 years. That man's crazy out there. Been 20 more years. But I tell you, friend, one day that ark door closed. I said, one day the ark door closed. And he said, when it did, it was too late. I said, it was too late. Church, listen to me. There's a word of God going forth in this land. But there'll come a day that ark door's going to close. And you're up. Opportunity to get in is going to be over with. You might as well get in now while the door's open, while the opportunity's there. Hallelujah. He said, they're eating, they're drinking. There's no caution, there's no urgency, there's no consideration. But in that hour, he said, the ark closed and it began to rain upon the earth. It's time to get in the ark, child of God. Maybe you don't know God at all. This morning is your opportunity. You don't know if there'll be another altar call. This is the day of salvation. This is your opportunity to come to Christ. I'm telling you, folks, it's going to rain, I said. It's going to rain. Get on the ark. Get your family on the ark. Get in Christ today. He is the ark of God. He deals with a preparation. He speaks of two servants. I won't go there, but I do want to talk about the 10 virgins there. He said the kingdom is like this.
virgins. We know virgins are pure, aren't they? We know that there's something of a religious nature to them. They've kept themselves to be a virgin. He said there's 10 of them, Matthew 25. They took their lamps and they went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise and 5 of them are foolish. Have you ever noticed the ratio here through all of this? It's 50%, folks, is what I'm saying. I mean, that's not very good odds. It's a 50% deal. Only half of them ever went into anything. Listen to me now. He said there's 5 wise and 5 foolish. They that were foolish took the lamps, and they took no oil with them. And the wise took oil in their vessels with the lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed the lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, "Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out." But the wise answered, saying, "Not so, lest there not be enough for us and you. But go rather that they that sell and buy for yourself." While they went out to buy, the bridegroom came, and they were ready in with him into the marriage. And at the door was shut. See, there's that door. There's that window of opportunities now closed. What was open is no longer a chance. It's too late. You're on the outside. Doesn't matter. The word of God's already come. The bridegroom has come. The door shut. The gate sealed. The opportunity is over. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." And he answered, "Verily I said, I know you not. Watch ye therefore, for you know not the day or hour when the Son of Man cometh." We know that he's dealing with the preparation of these virgins. 5 of them were ready, and 5 of them were not ready. 5 of them didn't think it was important to have oil in the lamp. They were virgins, and they had a lamp, but they had no oil. They had no preparation. We know that the foolish ones took no oil. They were negligent. They were unprepared, and their lamps had gone out. They paid no attention to the hour that they live. They were unconcerned about the condition of the time or the nearness of the hour. There was no oil. We know oil speaks of the Spirit. They were not prepared. They were not filled with the Spirit. They were not ready to meet the bride, and that caused them to be left behind. While others had prepared themselves, been in prayer and seeking God, while they had been occupied with spiritual matters, they slept without any preparation at all. They probably thought there may have been things more important in life, but those that were prepared were the ones that went in with him. I want to ask you something today, folks. Somebody this morning, where are you today in your relationship with God? Where are you today in your relationship with Jesus? There may still be a degree of separation to your life. You may be in the kingdom of God by way of the blood of Jesus, but you're not prepared. There's something pulling on you. There are other things that are more important than God. Only you know whether your love is waxed cold or whether it's burning like a flame of fire in your spirit, man, toward God. Only you can know that. Nobody here. But Jesus said in Luke chapter 9 verse 62, "No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." Are you hearing me? It's not how you start, he said. It's how you finish. No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Hebrews 10:38 says, "The just shall live by faith. But if any man draws back, thy soul shall have no pleasure in him." My soul shall have. If you draw back, he said, the just is going to live by faith. I'm going to detour here just for a second to get this point into your spirit. I read it for the text. Jesus said, he said, "When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" It said that the just live by faith. So if I live by faith, that's the element that sustains and keeps and causes me to move forward in God. And Jesus said, of all the things, I find it interesting to me, "When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth. God is looking for faith in the earth. That's what he's coming to find. The just, the justified, they're going to live by faith. And everything in this world is trying. Not only is God looking for faith, but the devil is looking for faith. Are you hearing me? I said, not only is God looking for faith, but the devil is looking for faith. And he wants to rob that faith. And he wants to take that faith. And he wants to remove it from you. I've learned in this journey that sickness upon that body isn't not to take the body, it is to take the faith. Are you hearing me? Sickness isn't to take your body. We are victors even in death in Christ. Sickness can't, it can kill the body, but it can't kill faith. It can't kill the spirit man. If I die, I've just come to this realization, this decision. If I die a sick man, I will die shouting he's a healer, that I'm the Lord that healeth thee. Why? Because I might die sick, but if I die sick, I will die in faith. Are you hearing me? I won't let hell take my faith. Amen. When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith? The difficulties of life, God's going to purge that faith. He's going to try it. He's going to bring it forth like gold. But if the enemy can rob it and take it from you, he can take the element that God's looking for on the earth. He wants to find faith. If the Son of Man comes, will he find faith? Friend, listen, the just live by faith. If we're walking in this journey, then we're doing it by faith. We're doing it in faith. And the enemy wants to rob it. He said, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. I read a book one time, some time back, a little small book called Our Security in Christ. You might have seen that, picked it up at Brother McGee's church. It was a Baptist man that got baptized with the Holy Ghost. He wrote that book, and he said when he was baptized with the Holy Ghost, the first thing he saw in the Word of God was the error of eternal security. He said that's the first thing the Holy Ghost showed him. He got filled with the Spirit. My words are spirit and they're life. You can't interpret the Word of God apart from the Holy Ghost. Amen. Well, you know, I'm pretty smart. Well, my words are spirit and they're life, he said. That's what Jesus said. It's impossible. It's the first thing he showed him. And any man draw back. Are you hearing me? God's trying to wake those up this morning who's drifting from the faith, who's being pulled by a thousand things. You're moving away from God. Step by step, it's just a matter. It's a baby step away from him. But you know there's something cooled in your heart. He's wanting to pull it back this morning. It's not the time to look back, child of God. I said, now's not the time to look back. Now's not the time to get cold. Now's not the time to fall away. We're closer than we've ever been. Romans chapter number 13, you know it well, probably could quote it. He said, Paul said, and that knowing the time, it begins in verse number 11, Romans 13, and that knowing the time, he says, it is high time that now is to wake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy, but put you on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to feel the lust thereof. Don't make provision for it. Don't give it the opportunity. Don't open the door for the lust of the flesh to enter into that life. As soon as that door is open, I can be drawn away. There's another spirit. There's another Jesus. And there's another gospel that's being preached in our land. And fools are swallowing it up by the multitude. Are you hearing me? Make no provision, he said. You might just take a bite into that false doctrine that's out there. He said, if you draw back, My soul will have no pleasure. It's not time to draw back. If I put my hand to the plow and I turn back, he said, I'm not fit for the kingdom of God, folks. This is the word of the Lord this morning. There must cast off, he said, these works of darkness. There's a spirit of Antichrist. I know you know that. It's working. It's cooling the affections of those who once burned with passion and love for Jesus Christ. It wants to pull you out. It wants to cause you to turn back. The devil still has the same old chains that God took off of you. The devil's got them in his hand. And if you listen every once in a while, you can hear him clanging in the background. He's dragging them things behind you. He's looking for you to turn back. And if he can get you to look back, he'll put the chains back on. The same chains that Jesus freed you from. Hell wants to lock you back up, friend. Don't draw back. Press on into the will of God this morning. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Move on. He has them right behind. He will love to put them back on. I'm going to deal for a moment before I close with this thought of time. Paul said, knowing the time. There's an expectancy. There is a taking for granted here that he knows. They know what time it is. And knowing the time. How many know everything in life is governed by time? Time is the one thing in life you'll never redeem. He'll never come back to you. Time is everything in life. We're watching a clock. It's 11:30 this morning. We know what time it is. Many of us looking for that noon hour so we can get on out of here. There's things to do. There's obligations to meet. There's things that's happening. All that we do in life is governed by time. I got to be at work. If you go to work, there's a time to be at work. There's a time to be at church. There's a time to be with the family. All of life is on time. That's why we have clocks, we have watches, everything, just to know the time. Why? Because everything in life is governed by that. And the more time you have, the more lax we generally are. Well, it got to be at work at 8 o'clock. It's only 5:30 in the morning. I got plenty of time. I don't need to be in a rush. I got time to get there. 2.5 hours before I got to be there. I got time. So I'm sitting back. I'm drinking coffee. I'm watching the news, reading the Bible, whatever it is that you may do. But I'm just talking in this framework. You know there's time. There's time before church. There's time before the ball game. But the closer the hour comes to time, the more that urgency sets in. You know it's almost time. Then all of a sudden, we're frantic. We're picking up. We're running. We're flying. We're running stoplights. Whatever it takes. I don't have much time. Why? There's an urgency to the hour. It's almost time. Paul said, knowing the time, it's high time. There's an urgency about the hour, church, is what I'm telling you. It's time. You might could have sipped tea or coffee for a while. You might could have played with the world. But it's time now. It's high time. Come out of the sleep of your religious slumber. Come out of that worldly spirit that's put you in a fog. And come back. Be filled with the Holy Ghost. Let the flame burn on the altar again. It's high time. Awake out of sleep. The Savior is at hand. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Hallelujah. I said it's time. It's time. It's time. Now is the time. Not tomorrow. Not next revival. An evangelist may never get back to this church. That pastor may never get back to this pulpit. Before that ark door closes, it's time. It's time to seek the Lord. Hosea 10:12, sow to yourselves, the prophet said, in righteousness, and you'll reap in mercy. And he said, break up your fallow ground. Fallow ground is ground that was once healed. It was ground that was once sowed. It was ground that once produced a crop, a fruit, a harvest. But it had become, because of negligence, it had become hardened. because there's nothing to plow it, because there's nothing to sow. Now it's become hard. That's fallow ground. Ground that was plowed, fruitful. It's become fallow. He said, break it up. Break it up, he said. Who's going to break it up? You break it up. Well, I'm going to wait for the Lord to do it. Break up the fallow ground, he said. You break it up. We have to, one by one, get in a place with God. Break up the fallow ground. If what was fruitful is hard, if it's been negligent, I got to plow it up. I got to find an altar of confession. I got to find out. I got to repent to God and confess to Him. I've neglected the altar. I've neglected His Word. I've neglected the Great Commission. I've neglected the Holy Ghost. I've not had the love for my brethren. I've not had the love for the lost. I've not had the love for God. I got to get and say, God, forgive me. Plow. I've got to plow it up. I got to get that on the altar with God. Break up your fallow ground, he said. For, he said, and then it is time. Our salvation is nearer than we believe, Paul said. Break up the fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord, church. It's time to seek the Lord. He's nigh, even at the door. If someone asks you today, what time is it, brother? Just tell them, it's time to seek the Lord. What time is it, Pastor Terry? It's time to seek the Lord is what time it is. That's the time, church. That's the hour. That's the moment that you and I live. It's time to seek the Lord. I'm not going to be a part, as Hebrews said, as the writer said. He said, I'm not going to be a part of them that draw back unto perdition. When he said to them, he said, those that just will live by faith. But he also said, my soul will have no pleasure in them that draw back. But he said, verse 39, we're not of them who draw back to perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Do I have any believers in here this morning? Do I have a church that would say, we're not a part of them that draw back? We're not going to be. We're going to will ourselves to do the will of God. We're going to give ourselves to the Lord. I'm not going to be a part of them that draw back. Oh, would you let that get in your spirit this morning, church? Would you let those words, we are not of them who draw back, but we are of them who press on and believe unto the saving of the soul. We're not going to draw back. We're not going to give in. We're not going to fall. We're not going to drift. We're going to follow the Lord, for it's time to seek the Lord. I said that the promises is to the overcomer, to him that overcome. God said, I will give to him to eat of the tree of life. The bride of Christ, the raptured church, is the overcomers of life. Those that overcame. It's not those that were perfected. It's not those that dotted every I and crossed every T. It's not of those that attained some special place. It's those that overcame. When I look at people who celebrate, recently I've seen a few couples who have celebrated some 60, some more years of marriage. I'm looking at a people, not that never had a problem, not that never had a failure. I'm looking at people that overcame. I'm looking at people who, against all odds, say, we're going to stay the course. We're going to stay committed. We're going to overcome. That's the overcomers of life, folks. We know that if we stay with God, no matter how the conditions of the world get, we know that we have this promise. Jesus said it in John 16 and 33. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. experience in the world. You have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. That's Jesus, folks. And John said that he lives inside of us, and greater is the one that's in you than the one that's in the world. There's an overcomer inside of every born again believer of God, every spirit-filled child. There's power to be a witness and to overcome with Christ. There is victory in Christ. There's victory over sin. You can be free this morning. You don't have to sin a little. You don't have to sin a lot. You don't even have to sin a little, because whatsoever's born of God cannot. And if I'll stay in the power of that new creation on the inside, I can overcome. An overcomer lives inside. That's how we overcome. For whatsoever's born of God, John 5:4, 1 John, he overcomes the world. Are you hearing me? For whatsoever's born of God, born from above, born again, this one overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. That's why you know hell wants to take it from you. And that's why you know Jesus is coming back for it. Why? Because this is a victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Our faith in the one who hell couldn't subdue, who death couldn't wrestle with. He took the keys of death and hell. He led captivity captive. He ascended on high. He's at the right hand of the Father, interceding for you this morning. Don't tell me you can't overcome. If you come to the overcomer, he'll overcome. He'll overcome through you. Somebody give God a praise for that this morning. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank God forevermore. We are overcomers in this life. To him that overcomes. You can turn, keep on reading, you'll find out that there's a group of people that had to face an old accuser. And know what they found out from that accuser? It found out, it said in Revelation chapter 12, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, always know verse 9, there's a great dragon cast out, the old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceives the whole world. He was cast into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of the brethren is cast down, which accused them before God day and night, and they overcame him. I said, they overcame him. How did the bride overcome? They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. He throwed it back into the face of the accuser. He disarmed, dismantled that accusation through the blood of Jesus and by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. That is Jesus. He is the testimony. He is the word. And he is the testimony of every child of God. And we've overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And they love not their lives unto death. But God's calling some of us. You've gotten loose. And God's trying to reel you back in this morning. Knowing the time, it's high time to awake out of sleep. Amen. Is Jeremy in here? Can you come, brother? This piano. I woke up this morning, and I know this is the words of God to this house today, to us. It's here today. To him that overcomes. Folks, listen to me. It's not the time to draw back. It's the time to come in. You know, you can feel it. You can feel yourself slipping. You can feel that coolness, that cool breeze of that Antichrist spirit that begin to blow on your heart. Other things have become more important than God. Other people have become more important than God. But God said, to they that look, Are you looking to him? Folks, he could come right now. He could come this morning. It's not how you start. It's how you finished. Amen. Would you start? Finish strong today. Would you stand with me? Every head bowed and every eye closed. I do want to reverence this moment, folks. God is drawing us to himself. Would you bow your heads right now? Holy Spirit, we ask you to move upon every heart. Jesus, we ask you, Lord, I know you're walking the aisles of this church. God, only you truly know the condition of men here this morning. And I know what your desire is for them, Lord. It's for them to come. Jesus has nothing to condemn, but he is one to give grace this morning. He's not come to condemn you. He's just come to tell you to finish strong. He's just come to tell you that if you look back, you're not fit. He's just come to tell you, if you look back, if you draw back, I can have no pleasure in you. But he's come to tell you, if you'll come to me, I'll put that fire back in that heart again. If you'll break up your fallow ground, if you'll sow righteousness, you'll reap mercy. If you'll do that, I'll rain down righteousness on you. I'll rain down. God's calling us, folks. Calling us back to this altar. You might not know Jesus at all. I want to ask you, do you know the Lord this morning? Every head's bowed and eye closed. I want to ask you to lift up your hand and say, preacher, I'm not ready to meet the Lord. I'm just not ready. Amen. See a few hands here this morning. And I'll tell you what. There's an altar in this church. This altar is representing Jesus today. This altar is representing the cross. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw a man to me. If I come to him, if I lay down my life, he said he'll give me his life. That's the opportunity of God today. Church, he's drawing us back. He's drawing us back. Hallelujah. Would you come? But you just come right now. God is speaking to your heart. Whatever capacity that he's speaking, you come to him right now. Only you know. It's not a time to be a pleaser of man. It's time to look to him. Church, he's talking to us today. If I ever knew God put anything in my heart, I know he put it in my heart today. Folks, he's near at the door. Is there oil in your lamp? Because a lamp won't burn without oil. If you're not filled, get filled this morning. Hallelujah. God's talking in this building. It's up to us whether we want to be a part of that crowd that's left outside the door. Do I want to be a part of that 50% that stayed in the field or that 50 that went? It's up to my choice today. God is talking to us. Hallelujah. Let's worship. Let's pray right now.